This is our fancy title, 5 years with the Ned Space System in South Carolina, Revolution, Evolution, and Future Perspectives. But I actually have an alternate title for you. Forgive me, I know a lot of people do use Dr. Strangelove in PowerPoint presentations, but it was particularly appropriate for us as we got used to the Ned Space System. I'd like to acknowledge a few people as well. Dr. Eric Brenner, who wasn't able to be here. Jason Collins, our IT manager, who's right there. Oops, back up. Can't back up. Dan Drocek is right there. And also lots of epidemiology and hardworking nurses and doctors and data entry people all over our state. This is just a quick summary of what I'm going to pop through with you today. Revolution, evolution, and future perspectives. I'm going to talk about our rollout. Then I'm going to talk about a little bit about what's going on right now with some numbers and some other things that we're doing with CHESS, and some future perspectives about where we hope to be maybe 5 years from now. Just for those of you who haven't heard us say this before, CHESS stands for Carolina's Health Electronic Surveillance System. It's South Carolina's implementation of the NEDS-based system, and we call it CHESS. In South Carolina, we like to be both productive and cute, and this lets us call ourselves pawns. So we like to stick with that whenever possible. I want to point out that just because there's a handful of us here, getting CHESS and the NEDS-based system to actually work takes a tremendous team effort. We have physicians, nurses, epidemiologists, programmers, data analysts, data entry people, trainers, healthcare providers, and laboratory staff, the last two we need for our rollout to providers and to the ELR process, and we'll explain in a few minutes. If any of these people were missing, if any of these roles were missing, CHESS would simply not work for us. We have to have all of these people. It doesn't do you any good to have brilliant nurses and physicians and epidemiologists if you don't have people on the ground making sure that your data is coming in consistently. We have a few milestones. May 2003, CHESS first went live in the central office, and we had some time to kind of process through that, get used to the system, and then we began rolling it out to our regional offices. And by the end of November 2003, CHESS was live all over the state in all of our regional health districts at the time. We had 13 at the time, and we've done some merging since then, but to CHESS, it's still 13 regions. In 2004, we had our last acute disease epi record entered into the old NET space, the old NET system. We still use it for a few other things, but for acute disease epi purposes, it really ended in December 2004. In July of 2006, we had our first external deployment. That was to Winthrop University, who very graciously offered to be our pilot location for remote data entry. They actually can log into CHESS with a very simple screen and report disease cases to us directly without us having to deal with the cards. And in April 2007, we got our first electronic lab records, and that was a tremendous effort and has made a tremendous difference in the kinds of data that we're seeing. For those of you who don't know what electronic lab records are, or ELRs, they contain no lab data automatically, they contain lab data that's automatically transmitted from lab databases into our system. It's loaded at the end of every day. We actually receive it in the morning. We do some processing with it, and it's loaded at the end of every day. It doesn't contain clinical information like symptoms. It's just pure lab data. And we often actually get it before the ordering provider gets it, which makes some of the phone calls kind of interesting, because we may have a regional epidemiologist who's calling a provider about a lab, and the provider hasn't actually seen it yet. So it really speeds up everything. All right, a little bit about the pain, and we'll get past the pain and move on to the happiness. Early on, Jason's predecessor, our former IT manager, got the phone call, and the phone rang, and he picked it up, and the first thing he heard was, "This thing makes me cuss." This was a regional epidemiologist who was using the system, and it wasn't that she didn't like the system, and it wasn't that she didn't believe in the goal. She's still one of our most enthusiastic users. She's a very good user. She's very careful. She's very conscientious. But she was frustrated. She was frustrated by the tremendous change in process that this was requiring. This is what she was used to. And I know it's a little bit hard to see, but that's kind of my point. These cards fit on about a third of a sheet of paper, and they're cut apart. And this is what disease reporting was and continues to be for the places that don't use CHESS for their data entry. As you can see, there's a lot of stuff on there. It's hard to read. It's hard to use. And we really want to get away from these cards as quickly as possible. We just get much better data when we can get away from it. But for the regional folks, this wasn't always an easy sell. Why would you want to get away from paper? It's simple, it's portable, you don't have to have passwords. Yeah, it's true, you can't do any sort of data analysis really at the regional level if you're not using some sort of database system, but they weren't doing that anyway. They were getting their reports, their results back from the central office. This was additional work for them. So we had to make sure that they knew that there was a point to it. And there is a point to it. It increases our communication. It lets us interact with the regions in ways that we couldn't do before. We can respond much faster to information. We get much more complete data now. The old NET system, the records were very basic. Basically, you know, age, race, gender, what the condition was, and the case status. And that was pretty much it. A little bit more, but not much. We can also follow patients over time. We can get a patient maybe that has chronic hepatitis C. They continue to get lab records for years, and we can follow that. If someone gets one disease and then they later get another disease, we can follow all of that and make these connections. We also can more closely connect our data to the CDC case definition, which is very important to us. We really want that matchup to occur. And we can get data entry from lots of sources, not just the central office or the regions. We can roll it out as much as possible. But there is some pain. The plus side is we get data entry from lots of sources. The minus side is we get lots of data from lots of sources. And sometimes the data is not as clean as we'd like it to be. We have to do very careful training. We have to ask people to change the way that they do their day-to-day business, their infrastructure. And we have to change our interaction with the regions. For example, you've now got, let's say, a nurse in a region who's got 20 years of experience in the field, and they're suddenly get a phone call from a young epidemiologist in the central office telling them that their investigation doesn't meet the CDC case definition. They don't always, they have to get used to that change. And there's also a lot more hands-on computer work. All of our regional people were using email, but they weren't having to use a computer system every day just to do their job, and that's a tremendous change for them. But they've done a great job. When we roll out to the providers, we've also had a tremendous change for them. We've had to do site visits in order to just get the system up and rolling, but we also have to fit CHESS into each office. Sometimes this is handled by an administrative assistant in that office. Sometimes it's actually handled by the nurses. You never know when you go into an office who your CHESS users are going to be and how many of them you're going to need and what kind of experience with computers they're going to need and how they do their business. So you have to customize it a little bit. You have to have initial education, but you also have to have ongoing education. You have to keep reminding people of things that they might forget or of changes in what's reportable and what's not reportable. You have to be able to catch problems and correct them. You have to also sometimes have to be mindful that there may be a corporate policy that you've got to juggle. Some of our hospitals are part of larger corporate entities, and that corporation may have a policy about how their internet is to be used, and it might not quite work with CHESS, so we've got to do a little negotiating there. You have to provide feedback, and that's tricky when CHESS is very much a one-way street for the providers. All the providers can see is two forms. They can see a morbidity report form or a lab report form. And once they send something, they can't see it. If they want to know if we got it, they have to call us and ask us to look it up for them. And that's a real challenge for them. So we have to give them as much feedback as possible, knowing that we can never give them everything that they want. We also have to deal with more staff turnover among providers than we do in our regions and in the central office. People are coming and going all the time. They might not necessarily tell you that they're leaving, so you have to do constant follow-up to make sure that you're keeping track of all these users. And at the end of the day, providers are always going to ask you the same question: what's in it for us? Why should we participate in this? And it's kind of tough to answer the question: is it really faster for them or better for them to log into a website to enter data than to pull a card out of a drawer, fill it out, and pop it in the mail? That's not necessarily a speed change for them. We've also had some very interesting challenges with the ELRs. Some of the hospitals really like the idea, but they don't want to spend the money to make those changes. We have to get all the vendors to meet the standards for sending us stuff. We have to keep all of our Loinc and SNOMED codes updated. We have to audit our procedures to make sure that everything's included. Something might change in a hospital. They don't necessarily tell us, so we have to keep coming back to them and asking them, have you made any changes? And we do have some complicated reporting rules. Some of our diseases, for example, are only reportable in children under 90 days. You're going to get all the labs, not just the ones for the children under 90 days, so you have to be able to clean that up as it comes in. We've also got ongoing process challenges. We get a lot of records that don't have a jurisdiction or they don't have a program area. We get disease-specific process requests. We might need data for vaccine-preventable diseases that we don't need for other diseases. So you have to be prepared to gather that data in different ways and educate people in what's needed for what disease. We have to decide what to do with our legacy data. Right now, CHESS does not contain any of our old NETS data. We have to have a special program that sort of brings those things together. And it works pretty well, but it's not as perfect as if it was all in one place. And we also have a lot of ad hoc reporting needs. People will need to do a sudden report for a specific data request, and you've got to be able to pull that data out, just like with any system. All right, I'm going to give you a few numbers and just a quick snapshot of a few things that we're doing with CHESS beyond just disease reporting. Our users have really changed. When we began with the CHESS system, we had one person who did all of our data entry because NETS was a very simple system. All the cards would come to him, he'd key them in, and that was it. We now have over 350 users, and those include users in the central office, regional, provider facilities, and then within those provider facilities, we have provider users, and we have 11 sites reporting ELRs. So over 350 users. That's wonderful because it spreads the workload out, but it's challenging because now you have to, if there's something going wrong, you have to tell 350 people, or you have to at least educate 350 people of the right way to do things. All right, just a couple of quick snapshots. If you look at the little red bits at the end, these are our morbidity reports that are actually keyed in by providers. And as you can see, it's still not as many as we'd like to hope. We get some over here. Let me use the mouse. This region here gets some. These regions down here get some. Our two big ones, this is the Columbia area, and this is the Charleston area. And they're not really sending us a lot of morbidity reports that are entered by providers. We get ELRs from them, but we don't get morbidity reports entered by them. So we're still trying to get more providers to willingly participate. And these are just the morbidity reports coming in over time since the beginning of CHESS. And as you see, more and more are using the electronic morbidity reports right here. Right now, about 8% of our morbidity reports are entered by the provider. We're hoping that will increase dramatically over time. And just a quick snapshot of what we're getting in terms of morbidity reports. The vast majority of us is hepatitis. We also get chickenpox and salmonella and so forth, but hepatitis is the big chunk. All right, our ELRs. Since April 2007, we've gotten more than 30,000 ELRs come through our system. One of our programmers describes it as trying to drink from a fire hose. If you're trying to process all of these, it's very challenging. During that time, we did over 16,000 total investigations. Not all of these were determined to be a case. Many of them were determined to be not a case or just suspect or whatever, but we processed that many. About 65% of those investigations have a lab attached. And in about 38% of those investigations, the ELR was the first record, the first observation that let us know to build that investigation. So that just reflects how important those ELRs can be when they come online. And here's a pretty picture. These are ELRs. The red is the ELRs. Everything else is entered by hand. A couple things to point out. One is that although we are getting a tremendous number of ELRs, our other labs that are entered in by hand that come in either on morbidity reports or as separate labs haven't really decreased. And a lot of this is because these ELRs are reflecting records that detail levels that we weren't getting before, susceptibilities, additional labs, multiple labs. We might have only gotten one or two labs for a patient before the ELRs. We might get 10 labs for a single patient for a single case of disease now. Got a couple of spikes here that you'll notice too. This was a test we did with STD HIV that lasted a week, and this is now we've turned it on. We're using CHESS as a pass-through for our HIV and STD data. So it doesn't actually go into CHESS and get investigated there, but it passes through the system. Two slides that reflect why this matters. Under the old system, when the data is submitted to us on a card, the average days between when we get a lab result, when the lab result is actually obtained, and when it gets entered into our system was pushing a month, 23 days. When the providers enter this data themselves, and this is just labs, when the providers key it in by hand, goes down to just over six days. We get it much faster. But the ELRs, it's almost instantaneously. It's just over a day before we get it. So it's much quicker. And the quality of the data that we get when we push the data entry out to the providers, it's generally much better. We're much more likely to have an onset date, a diagnosis date, a social security number. It's 93% when the providers enter it themselves. Hispanic status. One thing that we found that we didn't see a big difference is in the area of race, and that's because we were already getting pretty good data on race from just the card. So there wasn't a whole lot of room for improvement. But the take-home message on this, I think, is that when you push the data entry out to where it's collected, it's faster and it's better. So we're really pushing for that ultimate goal. We're also doing other things with CHESS beyond just the disease notification. We use it for an annual report. We use it to pull detailed statistics for our VPD grant. We're using it for some enhanced influenza surveillance. We use it to collect some outbreak details. Obviously, CHESS cannot be used for a real outbreak management system, but you can still get data out of it that you can use when you're investigating an outbreak. We are using it for some comorbidity studies. South Carolina now has the Hospital Infections Disclosure Act for dealing with reporting of hospital-acquired infections, and we're using CHESS data to compare to what the hospitals are reporting. We've been sticking CHESS data through ears. We just started doing that. We're using it as a pass-through for STD, HIV data, and we're also using it to track post-exposure prophylaxis, dog bites and cat bites, where we recommend PEP. That goes into CHESS. We also use it as an email notification system. CHESS will actually send out an email if certain diseases are entered in. I think it was yesterday we saw a demonstration, some people saw a demonstration of their system actually making a phone call. We're not there yet, but we're at email level. So our epidemiologists will get an email if a reportable disease of significant weight gets put into the system. And we're also using some GIS stuff. All right. Final slide here, just where we hope to be 5 years from now, and it's very ambitious. We'd like to have web or ELR reporting from all of our labs and providers. We'll keep pushing, we hope. We'd love to have integration of all reportable diseases into a single system. That's, again, pie in the sky, but we can hope. We'd like to have integration with outbreak management so we can compare the records back and forth. We'd like to have a better integration of the case report form. Sometimes there's a separate form that you have to fill out for a case that doesn't always match what's in CHESS, so we'd like those to be matched up better. We're really working on making CHESS fit better with the CDC case definition. We've been building reports that go into CHESS and compare it against the CDC case definition. Really try to make sure that what we're seeing when something's a case in CHESS, it's a case because it matches the CDC case definition. We'd love to be able to do contact tracing, but that's just not on the horizon right now in CHESS. Greater flexibility with fields. There's very little that we can actually change. We can add some local fields and that kind of thing, but we'd love to be able to do more of that, we wish. GIS incorporation into the system is something that we're working on. And that's a big list, but hopefully we'll be there within the next 5 years. And that's kind of a quick summary of 5 years with the CHESS system.
If you guys want to go ahead and ask some questions, if you have any.
Have you been able to integrate any additional information in your ELR, just the standard patient information, text to PIN, ordered lab test, result in lab test? Have you gone beyond that at all, as far as bringing any info in your system, like
okay, the question is, have we been able to incorporate more into the ELRs beyond the disease information and just what comes in with the lab beyond that? What we're getting right now with the ELRs is fairly simple. It's just mostly the resulted tests and that kind of thing. It's a little thin. Who knows where we'll be from that. If you've got more specific questions about the ELRs, I'd really encourage you to talk to Jason Collins down here, and he can tell you all the trials and tribulations there that have come in with it. Okay, we've got two.
Can you talk a little bit about how you work with the private providers and getting them to enter data into the system, how that works?
That's been interesting. The question is, can we talk a little bit about how we get providers to buy into this? We have a training team of three people that we actually share with the immunization division who are doing the immunization registry at the same time. So there's a lot of cross-promotion that they're doing. To be honest, some of our providers
call us and say, I've heard you've got this system, we want it, come give it to us. And we get that sometimes from a little bitty doctor's office out in the middle of, you know, you'd think nowhere, but they suddenly hear about this and they've got somebody on their staff that's enthusiastic and really wants it. On the other hand, we've had people say, particularly before we could put STDs through there, we would get people telling us, you know, until you can put STDs into the system, we don't want this. We want everything on one card. We want, or in one place. We don't want to spread out all over the place. So we still have people, some still have providers that just the answer right now is no. We try to give them as much feedback as we can, but it's tricky. What we're hoping is that someday we do have some level, some amount of organization level security so that they can see what they put in or get something out of that that they can use. That's our wish.
And do you go to their office and train them?
We go to their offices and train them, yeah. And we try to, and of course, most of these providers right now are big hospitals. But occasionally we'll get some smaller doctor's offices and we just try to schedule it so we have a couple in a day or we get them together or whatever. We've done some of it over the phone or with sort of web-based trainings. We also have a newsletter that goes out once a month and a website, and there's a lot of different ways that they can get their training done. But yeah, there's a lot of hands-on. You just have to hold their hands a lot.
Two questions, if I may.
Not sure. Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you. I believe you mentioned that often the electronic laboratory reports are the first piece of data to trigger an investigation. Do you have an estimate of how much time that saved, and did you prevent any cases by doing that?
How much time it saves, and did we catch cases that we wouldn't have caught otherwise? I'm not aware of any cases that we look at and we say, oh, if we hadn't had the ELRs, we would never have known about that. We did do a test recently where we compared just LabCorp data on hepatitis that we were getting from getting electronically, and we looked at the paper records that they were sending, and they matched up 100%. So it was, we were already getting a lot of that stuff. I would think sooner or later we're bound to catch something that we weren't going to catch. We do remind people, though, when we go out to these providers, that this is not a substitute for a phone call. If you get something that's urgently or immediately reportable, great, put it into CHESS, but don't do that until you've picked up the telephone and called the regional office and let them know. So we really push that. But I think this also gives us a chance to, this is an opportunity as we're deploying to make that push, to really remind people.
Right. But did you get the data faster?
We do definitely get it faster. Absolutely, we get it faster. I mean, we get it within 24 hours of the test being run.
Was there any case where that started an investigation that, and it made a difference that it started earlier?
Again, I don't know. I mean, okay. I can't think of a single incident that jumps out at me, but all of these cases where we received the lab report, it was certainly available for an investigation much quicker.
Thank you. And how did you use CHESS data to check the hospital infection reporting?
Okay, this is not something that I'm personally an expert in, but I can tell you that what we're doing is that what the HIDA people, the Hospital Infection Disclosure Act people, are doing is they're pulling these records and they're sending them over to another office where it's compared against records that the hospitals are entering into a separate system for a certain number of diseases like MRSA, where they have to report this into a separate database. And we're comparing to make sure that everything that they put into CHESS is also in this other database and vice versa. This has only been going on for a couple of months, so it's still kind of in transition.
I can add a little bit to that. Our rules generally for reporting MRSA, because MRSA is all down the communities, I mean, a lot of people have, you know, a skin lesion or something like that. Our rules for trying to establish whether or not it was acquired in the hospital is, number one, it must be from a blood source, as an invasive MRSA. That's what we're interested in. We don't care if somebody just had something, a skin scraping or something like that. Number two, we really want to see the overall susceptibility test to go along with it. And that's one thing that ELRs really, really help with. We actually get the full susceptibility rolling in. The second system that Claire mentioned is some data that's actually coming from hospital discharge data. And the discharge data listing both when the patient was admitted and the other things help determine, based on a statistical window, was the infection acquired in the hospital or did they walk in the door with it? So that matching of those records is critical to that by getting additional data to make that determination, is it acquired in the hospital?
Thank you.
We have time for one more question.
Yeah. I think the second bullet on this slide is very important, and I think it should be the goal of, you know, any state-level public health initiative to integrate their program data. I mean, ultimately, you know, to build a workflow engine. in Kentucky, we tried very hard to do that, and we ran against some very tough political barriers, specifically associated with the, you know, the social context around, you know, these various diseases and the, sure, the privacy and security requirements for each of those. And so I would just, you know, basically wanted to ask the question, do you have any feel for how you're going to approach those political boundaries that are, I mean, inherent in this kind of mixing of you know, various levels of privacy and security requirements?
Right. Well, one thing that CHESS does let us do is divide these things up into program areas. So, for example, an EPI staff members in the regions cannot see STD data unless they are authorized. They're specifically authorized to do that. So we're able to assure people at the program area level within our organization that people aren't going to see things that they shouldn't see. And that works very well in our system. When you get out to the providers, as far as they're concerned, this is all one big thing. They don't see this as, well, this is an STD and it has to be treated differently from a case of pertussis. To them, it's a reportable disease and it goes out. So at their level, the more of the second bullet point we give them, the happier they are. But with the program areas, you do have to convince everyone that although this is all coming into the same place, when it gets there, it's split out and people can't see what they shouldn't see.
It's
tricky.
It's a difficult problem. Mm-hmm.
It was a challenge when we switched to when we started doing the HIV and the STDs, but we had to give demonstrations. We had to show people this is why this will work with your rules, and that's tricky.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you.